Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 1, if thou wilt return, O Israel. And by the way, if you want to just let God touch your heart a little bit tonight, just go ahead and put O America right there and think about everything we read here. And I think you'll find that we're just about in the same type of situation here in our country. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth and judgment and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem. Watch this. Break up your fallow ground. Sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves. Let us go into the defense cities. Set up the standard towards Zion, retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. The lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy cities shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. For this gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish and the heart of the princess. And the priest shall be astonished and the prophet shall wonder. Then said I, ah, Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people in Jerusalem, saying, ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul. At that time shall it be said to this people into Jerusalem, a dry wind of the high places in the wilderness toward the daughter of my people, not to fan nor to cleanse, but a full wind from those places shall come unto me. Now also will I give sentence against them. Behold, he shall come up as in clouds, and his chariots shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? Heavenly Father, Lord, we read this portion of Scripture that's been preserved for our benefit. And now, Lord, we can't help as we read this to look at the condition of our own country and be moved, dear God. I wonder, dear Lord, if already the lion has come up from his thicket and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. I wonder, dear Lord, just how much mercy and patience you can continue to extend to a country who is drifting farther and farther into apostate state, Lord. And dear God, atheistic in our viewpoint and our beliefs. And dear God, our abominations, Lord, ever before you. I pray, dear God, that you would please continue to extend mercy to a country, Lord, that may not even be deserving of it. Lord, grace, please. And dear God, I pray for revival, Lord. I pray that there would be a turning of people's heart back to God. Lord, this is not your wish to have to punish and destroy, Lord. Your wish is to heal and to help and to bless. Help us, Lord, in this country to turn back to our God. Help us, please. Lord, may this message tonight stir our hearts. May it prepare us, dear God, not only just for the preaching conference that's going to start next week, but Lord, for the weeks ahead, dear Lord, as we get busy into the harvest. And Lord, may our hearts be properly prepared. Use this, Lord, in our midst tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to take this opportunity. I do this maybe once a year. And this really is kind of a side note. This is a little bit of a part of the introduction. It will lead to the message. But let me just say to everybody, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, hear me out. Please hear me out. Listen, folks, get a yearly checkup. Yeah, I'll just be patient. Listen to Dr. Ross for a minute, okay? Oh, I don't need it. Yeah, well, thank God. Let's just pray you don't. And if you don't, well, it's a waste of money. It's not always a waste of money. And sometimes the peace of mind that comes with it's worth it. Now, men, I know it's hard for you to hear a man say this, and as a man, the last thing you want to do is go to the doctor, and most ladies are the same.
but get yourself checked out. There's some things that you ought to talk to your doctor about. Depending on the age you are, there's tests that ought to be run at certain times. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not going to stand up here and give medical advice. I'm going to say this, that you know what? If God's blessed us as he has with the help that's available to us, let's from time to time go and get ourselves checked out. I do a lot of time in the hospital, all right? I'm not just interested in the spiritual welfare of our people. I want you to be well. And so just get checked out. And from time to time, get some areas checked. Get your heart checked out. Let them go ahead and hook you up and run the test and do the things that they need to do. It'll be a blessing to you. Listen to your bodies. Okay? I had a man tell me one time. He said this to me. He said, "Preacher, you know, God's kind of designed us if we just kind of listen to our bodies. It'll tell us when there's something not quite right." Okay? Most of us men are going to die of stubbornness. That's what they'll have to put on the headstone, because sometimes we know that there's things that need to be checked out and we don't. But let me just encourage you to do it. "Preacher, I don't like to either. I don't know if there's too many things I would like less than having to go to a doctor and let him poke and prod and take tests and do all the things that they do. But I want our people healthy." Now, wives, I've given you the ammunition. You start bugging him. All right? I don't mean we'll do it down the road. I mean some of you this week, honestly, long overdue, ought to call, get an appointment, just get yourself checked out and get that yearly checkup. And listen to the doctor and take some advice and keep yourself in the temple of God as well as you can. Tonight, we're not going to, of course, talk about that kind of a checkup. We're going to talk about a spiritual checkup, a heart checkup. Jeremiah is a great character in the Bible, a wonderful prophet. See, Jeremiah was known as the what kind of prophet? Can you remember? The weeping prophet. Which means this, folks. Jeremiah was a man of a tender heart. Now think about that. He was a man of a tender heart. Jeremiah, in the midst of a time where men's hearts were hardened against God, was able to develop and maintain a very tender heart to the Lord. He was a man, by the way, a prophet who knew rejection, he knew persecution, he knew loneliness, he was mistreated, distrusted, slandered, imprisoned, maligned, ignored, abused, and ridiculed. But you know what? He protected his heart, he maintained his heart, and he never lost his tears. He never lost his tears. He never hardened his heart. He never quit. And to the end, you know what? Despite the fact that he lived amongst a people whose heart was hardened against God, to the very end, he loved his nation and he loved his Lord. The condition of your heart is important. The condition of your heart is important. The condition of your heart is paramount to your spiritual well-being. I'm not going to go into a deep study of it, but you know what? Your heart is part of the swing vote that determines your spiritual condition. We're a triune creation made in the image of God, body, soul, and spirit. Let me just tell you this. The flesh doesn't want to serve the Lord. Your newborn spirit desires to serve the Lord. And the honest truth is, your soul, which is your heart, your mind, and your will, a lot of times is the vote that produces a majority between the three. Your heart's condition determines your direction. It tips the scales either towards your flesh or towards your spirit. Your soul won't be right until your mind is disciplined and your will is surrendered and your heart is broken. And as much as it's hard for me to see it happen in the lives of Blessed Hope Baptist Church people, let me say this, it's not a bad thing for God from time to time to break your heart. Just allow him to kind of break your heart. We need to stay tender in our heart towards God. Now, Satan knows this too, and his desire is for you to develop a carnal mind and a stubborn will and a hard heart. And so we want to do a heart checkup. If you allow these things to happen, you'll become well nigh useless in your Christian life. Did you hear me? A Christian that has a carnal mind, a stubborn will, and a hard heart, they're well nigh useless. I've watched people get in this condition, and I've watched God just put them on a shelf. And just, he can't do a whole lot with them, just can't use them much. And so we need to get a checkup.
We need to go to the great physician. We need to make the appointment. We need to sit down in the presence of God and say to our Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. So we're going to spend some time having our hearts checked tonight. Now think about this. At the time of this writing, the time of the writing of Jeremiah, the heart of Israel as a whole, as a nation, was in a wretched condition. You want to get a little bit of a view of this. What I did, just kind of a shortcut, quick Bible study, was to type the word heart and search it out and look at every verse that was found in Jeremiah. And you know what I found out? I found out this about the nation of Israel. In Jeremiah 3:10, the Bible says they had a feigned heart. In Jeremiah 3:17, an evil heart. In Jeremiah 4:4, an uncircumcised heart. Jeremiah 4:18, a wicked heart. Jeremiah 5:23, a rebellious heart. Jeremiah 9:8, a deceitful heart. Jeremiah 12:11, an uncaring heart. Jeremiah 17:5, a departing heart. Jeremiah 22:17, a covetous heart. And Jeremiah 48:29, an arrogant, haughty, and proud heart. You know what? The nation of Israel had allowed their heart to get into an awful condition. Think about that. Where the nation of Israel as a whole had a feigned, evil, uncircumcised, wicked, rebellious, deceitful, uncaring, departing, covetous, arrogant, haughty, proud heart before God. How in the world can a people whose God is supposed to be the Lord allow themselves to get in that kind of a heart condition? Look up right here. You know how it happened? It didn't happen overnight. It happened a little bit at a time. And that's why tonights and nights like this at the church house are important. Because you know what? It's important. Because you know what? It's important that we at time to time just stop what we're doing and say, okay, Lord, I want to have my heart checked. I don't want to wait until I get it in this kind of a condition to where I'm well nigh worthless and well nigh hopeless. God, as things begin to go awry in my heart, bring them to my attention. Help me to deal with these things as they come into my heart. So tonight, Lord, with the Lord's help, we're going to do a heart check here. Let's all of us just allow God to check our heart. Now, even though this was the condition of the heart of Israel as a whole, during the writing of Jeremiah, Jeremiah himself, even in this environment, we find out he carefully guarded and carefully managed his own heart. Now, folks, America, I have to say, is a nation of a feigned heart and an evil heart and an uncircumcised heart and a wicked heart and a rebellious heart and a deceitful heart and an uncaring heart and a departing heart, a covetous heart, an arrogant, haughty, proud heart. But that doesn't mean we ought to be that way. I mean, folks, listen to me. A Christian needs to guard their heart and carefully manage their heart. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. A Christian with a hard heart is the devil's captive. A Christian with a tender heart is the Savior's delight. Let me say this. If you struggle in your Christian life, if you're having very little joy, very little victory, you might want to carefully consider tonight the condition of your heart. Even in a world gone crazy, and that's what we live in, it's important that we maintain well our own heart. In a time where even many Christians have allowed their hearts to become hard and cluttered and thorny and shallow, we always need a remnant of God's people who take the time to make sure that their heart is right with the Lord. And next week, God is going to send us two preachers, folks, who will preach to us the Word of God. There's something special about preaching conferences. We have them on a regular basis here. I think it's a biblical thing. I think if you study the book of Nehemiah, you'll see that there's times where God's people just needed to settle themselves underneath for an extended time, the preaching of the Word of God. That's a time where God can deal with our hearts. Nothing is better for the heart than from time to time just sitting under the an intense time of good, solid Bible preaching and open our hearts wide open and say, God, just deal with my heart. Just deal with my heart. You know what? I schedule it for y'all, but I schedule it for me too. Every once in a while, I want to bring in some men of God that I trust and some men of God that I know will bring the Scripture, some men of God that have proven testimonies and who have the hand of God upon them, and just say, preach to the church. Yes, preach to the church, but also preach to the preacher. I need to hear it.
I need to be blessed. I need to be helped. I need my heart checked out. And so we're going to have that time. When these men show up next week, Lord willing, on Sunday, Brother Johnson, and then Monday and Tuesday, Brother Angel and Brother Johnson, as they show up, and then Brother Johnson finishes out Wednesday night, I pray that we do not show up next Sunday with an unprepared heart. We need to do our part. I mean, wouldn't it be a horrible thing if I brought these two men in here and they showed up and they came and they got to the pulpit and they said, "Preacher, I'm a little embarrassed, but and I know that we've had this plan for months, but I just got busy and I don't have anything and I'm not prepared. So, preacher, I'm going to have to set back down because I just didn't do it. Due diligence to be ready for what I should be able to do tonight." You know what, folks? It's just as much a sin. Come on. For us to show up next week having not prepared our hearts for the preaching of the Word of God. And so I want to take the example of Jeremiah, because I believe the prophet Jeremiah shows us that there is a way that we can keep our hearts right and prepare our hearts properly, even in the midst of a people with a polluted and profane and presumptuous heart, and that's America, it really is. Preacher, in this environment, in this culture, how do we keep our heart right, and how can we properly prepare our heart for what God's going to do in the weeks ahead? All right, let's look at the prophet Jeremiah. Let's take a look at his heart. Let's compare his heart with the heart of a nation. What do I do, preacher, to prepare my heart for the things ahead? Number one, you notice this about Jeremiah. He kept his heart right by keeping it clean. In Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 14, he says this about it, Israel. He says, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved, or that thou mayest be delivered. Judgment is looming. The Gentiles are coming. What's the answer? Wash thine heart from wickedness. Keep your heart clean. Keep your heart clean. Keep your heart clean. Ask the Lord to cleanse you. Spend some time this week allowing God to just go through every part of your heart. Open yourself up before the Lord. Ask God to point out the things that have crept in. Just do a good time of cleaning. Something wonderful about cleaning. I'll come sometimes to the house, and as soon as I open the door, I can tell that my wife has spent the day cleaning the house. And I mean, she gets into a flurry every once in a while, and I think about twice a year she cleans the house. And she keeps a wonderful house. I'm kidding, but every once in a while, just about once a week, I can come home and just tell that she has just done a thorough cleaning. I mean, you walk in, and despite my efforts to keep it a wreck, everything's in its place. And all of the clothes are caught up, and you walk by the bathroom, and there's the smell of cleanliness, and everything's been scrubbed, and everything's been, you know what, it's just everything's right. You know how nice it is to walk into a clean house? Have you ever worked out in the fields? I mean, maybe picked a job around the house, did something that's just going to make you, I mean, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. I remember after a day of, I always think about putting up hay. After a day of putting up hay, I'm telling you what, I don't know if there's too many things you can manage to do by the end of the day that just makes you more dusty and dirty and sweaty and filthy. And you know what? You don't feel right. You stink. Nobody wants to be around you. And there is just something wonderful to be able to just go. And by the way, we take for granted some things, folks. Just thank God for the simple thing. Thank God you can walk into a bathroom and turn on a shower, and you got hot water, and you got a place to. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. There's generations that didn't have that. We're blessed. And boy, you get the soap and the shampoo and the scouring pads and everything you got to get. And you know what? You get out of the shower and you put on clean clothes and you can sit down. And you know what? There's just that wonderful feeling of just being clean. Let me say this, folks. Don't rob yourself of that. Don't think that we don't, from time to time, just need to take an old-fashioned spiritual shower. From time to time, we just need to let the water of the Word pour over us and pour over us and pour over us. And, And as we prepare for next week, preacher, how do I prepare to the best of your ability? Come next Sunday with a clean heart. But you know what, folks? Sometimes when we think we're clean, God reminds us in ways that we're not. And you know what? Just let the Lord do that all through the preaching conference. God, please, if there's something in my life that ought to go, if there's something that's keeping me standing before you, not right, unclean before you, Lord, deal with that thing in my life. So Jeremiah knew what it was to keep a clean heart. Number two, go to chapter 5, just across the page for most of you. Verse 21, notice this. He not only kept his heart right by keeping it clean, he kept his heart right by keeping it free of rebellion against the Lord. Notice, if you will, Jeremiah 5:21. Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. But this people, watch this, hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone, neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins, watch this, and your sins have what? Withholden good things from you. Now look up here and let me help you. There's a condition, different conditions our heart gets into that from time we need God to purge. Sometimes we get an unclean heart and we just need God to clean our heart. Sometimes we allow rebellion to seep into our heart. And you know what, folks? Rebellion will always rob you of the good things that God wants to give you. So during this time ahead, as we begin to prepare our heart during this week, and then as we center the preaching and say, God, finish me out, finish me up, I would pray that every single Christian here do an examination of your heart to see if you find even a little bit of rebellion that has slipped in to your heart. In the 1960s, folks, and even back into the 50s, all of a sudden rebellion became something that became glorified here in the United States of America. The rebel was the cool guy. The one that, rebel without a cause. The guy that broke the rules all of a sudden was the one that everybody admired. And we had a nation that began to attack and fight and rebel against authority. And folks, let me say this. The sins in the 50s of a group of young people that began to do that turn into the sinfulness of the 60s and the 70s. And I don't know if we've ever recovered from it, because in this room right here, I promise you this is true, there's still some of you that have more admiration for someone who breaks a rule than keeps a rule. And we've got to be careful that poison. Oh, preacher, I don't know if rebellion's that bad. Well, God says rebellion is as the sin of... Wow. I've heard parents defend it and say, well, you know, part of the teenage experience and part of growing up is just kind of rebelling against mom and dad, as if we are being too hard here, and we need to just understand that's part of the process, and it's put in a light as if it's some kind of a good thing. I don't understand parents that put up with rebellion in their home. I don't understand. And kind of laugh and wink and, you know, excuse it. And what? I often say this. If you walked into your children's room and one of them was sitting on the floor and they had drawn in the middle of the floor a six-pointed star, and they were playing with tarot cards and they had a Ouija board, and they were attempting to have a seance with a number of other young people, would you shrug your shoulders and just say, oh, well, you know, that's a phase teenagers go through? I wouldn't. Okay? And what I'm saying is this. God says when you view rebellion, you ought to view it as the sin of witchcraft. You shouldn't have no tolerance with it. Now, look right up here, young people. The thing about it is, not only should mom and dad not tolerate it in your life, you shouldn't tolerate it in your life. You shouldn't tolerate it in your life. It shouldn't be mom and dad that's most worried about rebellion in your life. It ought to be you that's the most worried about rebellion in your life. Because you understand that if you begin to rebel against authority and that begins to become the sin that invades your heart, pretty soon what you've done is you begin to open doors that are dangerous, doors that are demonic. That's what witchcraft does. It opens up inroads into our life where Satan can access us. That's why, listen folks, you can huff and puff and you can do whatever you want to, but I'm going to tell you something. This preacher is going to preach on the fact that you ought to obey God-given authority in your life. I don't care if it's popular or unpopular. I don't care if it's accepted or unaccepted. It doesn't matter. I know what the Bible says about it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. You know, it's the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest. And you know what God says? You know, I'll cut your life short. You want to be a rebel? I'll cut your life short. I'll take years off your life. Now what we've got to do is, and I'm just not preaching to children, I'm preaching to us adults. You know, sometimes what we do is we want to holler about the rebellion of our children and we ignore our own rebellious attitude when it comes to God-given authority in our life. I've worked out in the world. I've worked out in the workaday world for a lot of years. I'm going to tell you something. I always separated myself from that group of fellow employees that wanted to sit around and badmouth the boss and badmouth the company and take that like it's a sport or something like that. You know what? I had God-given authority. I have principles in the Bible concerning the servants and his relationship to the masters. And you know what? I was always thankful to have a job. And well, things aren't perfect. Well, welcome to the real world. But what you're doing is you're allowing something to foster in your heart that you've got to be careful. You get in the habit of just being rebellious against authority, God-given authority in your life. Be careful about that. Be very careful about that in all areas of your life. No, I'm not going to glorify rebellion. Oh, but she had a reason. He had a reason. Baloney. Stop making excuses. Okay, they need to repent. They need to get right. They need to say, I'm sorry. They need to stop justifying it. Okay? Don't glorify rebellion. Young people, look at here. You find the young people that's grown up in this system, that's now young adults, that you know what, grew up saying, thank God for my parents and thank God for my preacher and thank God for the thou shalt and thou shalt nots and the parameters of the Bible. Thank God that God's given me some God-given authority that's wiser than me. And you know what? I'm going to listen to them and I'm going to be helped by them and I'm going to obey them. And by the way, if you'll find those kids, you know what? There's a lot of them around here that's serving the Lord and they're happily married and good things are happening in their life. You choose those as your heroes. Okay? I want to help some of you young people tonight. Somebody's gone off into rebellion against God. You should have no company with them. You should not be texting them. You should not be talking with them. You should not be fellowshipping with them. Okay? Well, preacher, what about somebody that ought to try to help them? That's not you. That's not you. You don't have the spiritual experience. You don't have the spiritual know-how. You're playing with fire. Okay? You get up on a table. I'll show you. You put a table in the middle of this platform. You get somebody up on top of the table. You get somebody down on the floor. And you tell them, lock arms. And you tell the person on the table, you pull that person up on top of the table. And you tell that person on the ground, pull him off the table. I'll tell you who's going to win every time. Some of you need to unlock arms. Okay? I'm not saying being nasty. I'm not saying being mean. I'm not saying not pray for them. I'm saying there's some of you that are going to end up casualties if you keep letting people who are in a state of rebellion influence your life. Or your preacher just gave you good counsel. He just gave you good counsel. But the thing about it is, let's not worry about that. Let's worry about us. You know, one of the things that we see in Jeremiah is this. In the midst of a rebellious people, he kept a submissive heart to the Lord.
And so as we're doing our heart checkup, let's make sure that it's clean. Let's make sure that it's free of rebellion. Jeremiah chapter number 7. Look at verse number 23, if you will. Jeremiah chapter 7. And verse number 23. How do you keep your heart right before the Lord? In the midst of a nation whose heart is amuck in sin and rebellion, you keep it right by keeping it clean, free of rebellion. Number 3, Jeremiah kept his heart right by cultivating a spirit of obedience to the things of God. I want you to listen to these scriptures. They're really powerful. Jeremiah 7:23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backwards, not forwards. Notice verse 25, since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants and prophets, daily rising up early and sending them, yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their necks. They did worse than their fathers. You know what God was appealing to the people of Israel about was this. This is what he challenged them to do in verse 23. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart. The appeal, the divine appeal, was to obey. The carnal reaction was to say, I am not going to let you lead me and guide me. I am going to let my own heart dictate what I do, not Almighty God. Now, this goes along kind of with the last one. But folks, listen to me. We keep our heart clean by searching out and seeing, or right, by keep searching out and making sure that it stays clean. Is there any unconfessed sin? Keep it free from rebellion. Any rebellion against God-given authority. Number 3, keep it right by cultivating a spirit of obedience unto the things of God. Obey my voice, and I will be your God. You shall be my people. You'll walk in the ways that I've commanded you, that it may be well with you. God never commands you so that he can mistreat you. He never tells you to do something that's going to be for your demise or your destruction. He tells you to do the things that'll be for your, that's best for you. And so what we need to do is we need to search our heart. Have we a heart that has a spirit of wanting to obey the things of the Lord? Are we keeping a heart right in this matter of obedience? Come on, let's just look at this, folks. It's right to come to church. Have we begun to excuse ourselves and say, you know what, I don't have to come every service. I mean, in the Bible it doesn't say that you have to come Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Watch this, watch it. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. It says so much more. So much more. Are you obeying the Lord by bringing of the blessings, a percentage of the blessings of God, according to as he has increased you? Are you robbing the Lord? Are you listening to me? This matter of obedience and getting out the gospel. We could go through all of these areas. What I'm saying is this. You ought to cultivate a spirit of obedience as we go into the preaching conference. Say, Lord, help me to see the areas where I may think that I'm being obedient. But Lord, you know my heart. Let me have you go to Jeremiah chapter 15. I want to give you these next couple. So, Jeremiah chapter number 15. Look, if you will, at verse number 16. How do you keep your heart clean or right? You keep it right by keeping it clean, free of rebellion, cultivating a spirit of obedience. How else did Jeremiah keep his heart right? Jeremiah 15, verse number 16. Notice this. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me a joy and a rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Did you get that? He said, thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Now go over to Jeremiah chapter number 20, just a page over or so, in verse number 9. Jeremiah, in a moment of discouragement, said this, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing. How do you keep your heart right? How to properly prepare your heart for the preaching conference for the weeks ahead? Let's ask God concerning this area of our life. Listen, Jeremiah kept his heart right by igniting it often with the Word of God. I'm convinced that what we need to do is build a strong, consistent, meaningful relationship with the Bible. I don't know what your relationship with the Bible's been. I don't know what it was last week. But if there's ever a week that's important to spend time in the Word of God, it's this coming week. Okay, let the Word of God cleanse your heart. Let the Word of God build a fire in your heart. Let the Word of God do something sweet in your heart. Could I ask the congregation to do something? Even if you normally and have normally kept a pretty good schedule as far as devotions, with everything that's at stake and everything that we've got planned and all that we want to see God's doing, would you join your preacher in saying, "Preacher, you know what? I read a certain amount of the Bible every day, and I'm not asking you for hours. But I'm going to ask you, would you just spend a little extra time in the Bible? Would you join me in just spending a little extra time in the Bible?" One man just asked this one time. He said, "How much of the Bible should I read?" And one great preacher answered this, "Well, you probably ought to read it till your heart begins to burn. You probably ought to read it till your heart begins to burn." You see, folks, one of the keys of keeping your heart right is keeping your heart in the Word of God. Keep your heart in the Bible. Keep your Bible reading time. Keep your Bible study time. Let the Word of God ignite and build a fire in your heart. You know what? Even in a time of discouragement when Jeremiah wanted to quit, he said, "You know what? The Word was in my heart as a burning fire. Shut up in my bones. I was weary with forbearing. I could not stay in the Word of God." What kept Jeremiah doing what he ought to do, even at times when he didn't want to do it. How's your relationship with the Word of God? How's your relationship with the Word of God? Preacher, you've been spending Wednesday nights teaching on the Word of God to encourage us to spend extra time in the Word of God and teaching us what the Bible says about the Bible and the importance of Bible memorization, meditation, and reading and the study of the Bible. Yes, your preacher is doing due diligence, but has it changed something in your life? Is the Word of God precious to you? I find this: when my heart begins to get cold, I need this book. When my heart becomes cluttered and distracted, what I find is I need this book. There's times, folks, when it seems like I can't even maintain concentration and a thought process through a complex problem. And I don't think it's because I'm getting old. I think it's because sometimes this old world just has so much going on in it that it's hard sometimes to sit down and get one task completed completely. When I find myself where it seems like my heart is going this way and that way and this way and that way, you know what I need to do? I probably just need to sequester myself away and just get into the Word of God and just spend an extended time. And it's amazing how it settles my heart, fixes my heart. It's amazing how it allows me to sort out priorities and lay aside things that are distracting me and bring to peace some things and give God some things. And after a time spent in the Word of God, it seems like I can go back and everything that I spent hours frustrated about begins to start making sense in my life. I love this book. I can't imagine the Christians. Can you imagine some of the Christians in some of these countries where, you know what, they have to share one Bible amongst an entire congregation? Or sometimes they just have a few pages of the Word of God and they assemble and they have somebody read just a little portion of it. And we have a copy of the Bible. It's there for us every day of our life. Listen, what's going to help your heart is just baptize it in the Word of God. Baptize it in the Word. Preacher, I'm confused. Get in the Bible. Preacher, I'm discouraged. Get in the Bible. Preacher, I'm just lost. I'm just lost. Get in the Bible. Preacher, I don't even know what decision. I've lost my moral compass. I can't figure out sometimes what even is right and wrong. Just get in the Bible. Get in the Bible. Read it. I'm not sure I'm understanding it. Read it anyway. I'm not sure I'm getting anything. Read it anyway. Just read it. Just keep reading it and keep reading it and keep reading it. And then stop and pray and read some more and stop and pray and read some more and stop and pray and read some more. And I promise you, listen, this isn't hocus pocus. I promise you it's amazing how the Word of God just settles your heart, just quiets your spirit, just brings proper focus to your life and proper focus to your mind.
And it seems like, you know what, this, when nothing else seems to be able to fix Jerry Ross, this is the fixer. This is it right here. Thank God for the Bible. Let me ask you this question this evening. By the way, I wrote this out. I got to tell you, this story was kind of funny. I wrote this out as I was writing out some concluding comments to the message. I said, I typed this. Let me ask you a question this evening. What about your heart? Is it right with God? And then as I typed that, I thought to myself, wow, I haven't heard that song in a while. You remember the song? Do you know the song? What about your heart? Is it right with God? And so I've been focused on that song for about the last day and a half. And I came into our prayer time and I told telling Brother Abel about it. I said, Brother Abel, I said, you remember an old song they used to sing? What about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today. Is it black by sin? Is it pure within? Could you ask Christ in to stay? People often see you as you are outside. Jesus really knows you, for he sees inside. And I'm telling Brother Abel about this song. And I said, man, I haven't heard that in years. I said, it's been on my heart. What a blessing that is. Brother Abel says, well, these boys here, he said, these boys wouldn't know that song, you know. And his Brother Noah, right? Brother Noah. And Brother Noah's back there in our prayer time. And he said, I know it. And I said, you do? He said, yeah, we're practicing it. We're going to sing it one of the nights of the revival. I said, what? Yeah, Brother Whittington, he that's one of the revival songs he's gotten us practicing up. Me and Brother Abel just looked at each other. We were just stunned, you know. I said, man, I can start getting excited. That's a blessing. I hadn't thought about this song in years. I'm in my study. I type out this question. God reminds me of this song. I've been singing it in my heart for the last day and a half or so. And I sat down and I want to share it with this younger generation that don't. And isn't it sad, some of these precious songs that somewhere along the way just got lost? I don't know what happened. I don't know. How about your heart? Is it right with God? I'm excited. Monday night, by the way, Monday night, our young people are going to be quoting scripture about revival and singing songs about revival. I think you're going to be blessed by it. But here it is. How about your heart? Is it right with God? Hey, that's the thing that counts today. Is it black by sin? Is it pure within? Could you ask Christ in to stay? People often see you as you are outside. But Jesus, he really knows you, for he sees inside. How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today. Next week, God's going to send us two men who will preach to us the Word of God. Nothing's better. There's no greater gift we could give these men than a heart that's prepared to hear the Scriptures. A sower sowed a seed. He did his job. You know what the problem was? It wasn't the sower and it wasn't the seed. It was the condition of the soil. That's why Jeremiah was told to tell the people, break up the fallow ground. You know what he was saying? Prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. Tenderize your heart. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. We've got a week to get ready. How about next Sunday? Let's bring to the church house, to the meeting place, let's bring to the preachers that'll preach, let's bring a clean heart. Let's bring an uncluttered heart. Let's bring a tender heart. Let's bring a heart that's prepared to obey what God tells us to do. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Just heart checkup time tonight. Just time for a heart checkup. Oh, we need it. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Heavenly Father, we're so easily distracted and so many times, Lord, without us even maybe sometimes fully aware of the things that begin to affect our heart and creep into our heart. Lord, there's many things we could have covered. I've got about 8 or 10 things that Jeremiah taught us. I feel like it's time to wrap it up. I feel like you're done with the message. Lord, we can get ourselves in such a mess. And Lord, the thing about it is if we don't deal with it, if we're not careful, we can get in the same condition of the nation of Israel in the time of the writing of Jeremiah. And sometimes even in our own anguish, we think to ourselves, how in the world did I get here? Lord, help us to be open, dear God, to the working power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, Please point out those unclean areas of our heart. We ask that you'd cleanse it. Point out to us, Lord God, help us to stop justifying it. Help us to stop defending it. Help us to stop glorying in it even at times. Any rebellion that might have crept into our heart towards some God-given authority, Lord, in our lives, may we spend this life and even tonight during the invitation purifying our heart of rebellion. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'll help us to have a heart set to obey, ready to obey, where all your Holy Spirit has to do is whisper, and all we want so to do the will of God. Just tell me, Lord, and I'll do it. Just whisper to me and I'll obey. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'll help us to have a steady and consistent contact with the Bible. Our heart needs the Word of God. Lord, use this message. Just a little precursor to the things, Lord, that's ahead on the calendar. A chance for us to properly prepare. May we be a people of a tender heart.